Welcome to Do a Blessing CNS Church London's podcast, sharing the good news weekly. We hope you are blessed by today's message.
May your name alone be exalted in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' precious name we are prayed. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's have our seat. God bless us all in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So just a couple of announcements that, sorry, the payment stuff was not fully charged. So please, you know, if you want to do a transfer, you can still do it there. It's charged now. Just to also have that in mind. Secondly, is that I know that this wasn't just a few things about the anniversary. Is that I know a couple of people have asked that because we have a new people joining us, we do not put levies for
anniversary.
You give whatever it is that God has given you the grace to. But what I would please ask is that when you are giving towards the anniversary, please can you are you transferring to the church account, please tag it anniversary. The reason being that there are times God would ask us, in fact, for the 9 years of the church, every single one that has come into the anniversary, God has asked us to give out. So that we can properly account for God. So that any money we see as anniversary, it goes to wherever God wants it to go. So I don't know what God will ask us to do in the 10th anniversary, but it's just for us to know that that is how, including, I think the last 9 anniversaries, including all the money that they take on that day, everything goes out as God has required it. So please, if you want to give, or if you want to make any kind of contribution, just let us know. Or you can please transfer it to the church account. But please tag it anniversary. So also in the spirit of anniversary, I'm based on a few things that God has said briefly this morning. I know it wasn't mentioned. We would open the altar prayer again on a daily basis until the week before the anniversary. It would be open to everyone. Please don't be compelled that you have to join. But, you know, it would be nice to have you when you can. So we would be holding it, we'll post in the prayer call on at 8 o'clock every day except for Wednesdays, which is the Bible study. And we'll be doing that and except for Sundays because we'll be in church. Or we'll have been in church, not that we'll be in church, we'll have been in church by then. So God help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It's not too long, it's just a few weeks to go. And we'll be home dry. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Also, please, for those who did not take the honey, there was a prophecy around the honey, and some people were able to, some people were not in church. But please, if you still are still interested, let us know. We still have, God said we should leave some for people who were not in church but would want to partake in it. So please let us know after the service. Amen. So we, last week, we spoke about the nature of our faith, which has roots embedded in it. That the nature of following God is a risk. It is part of the nature of the body, of the kingdom. And Jesus was expatiating on this. Jesus made this clear that this is part of the kingdom. It is not something that you cannot wish away. And we were talking about people who took the risk. And the risk, as far as the Bible is concerned, is that we should be prepared to lose everything. So we had an example of Moses. Just doing a bit of recap then, because as we go on further. Now, when we see the question of risk, is that the topic is the what is the value of your soul. When we look at the question of it, for those who do, there's something called VA, for those who do modeling and things like that. But that's not what I'm just trying to. What I'm saying here is this, is that you are willing to take risk, higher risk, the more you are assured of the value. You do not take risk on things that you cannot, that it doesn't have value. So the proportionate way to want to take a risk is because you have a clear picture of the value attached to a decision. For the value attached to a decision. So you will begin to see, just as a quick point, what we said last week as we move away from there. But our focus last week, we discussed more about the rates, but now we are really focusing on value. On value, because even after you've had, we need to take, this kingdom is a kingdom of risk. The question at times is, you know, understanding the value is quite critical. So we looked at Moses last week. The Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as a son of Pharaoh. He chose to be mistreated along with God's people rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. So we said last week is that, you know, we were describing how that decision was huge for Moses to make. Moses was like, he was at the top of the government. You know, as far as people recognize him as the son of Pharaoh, they will bow down and worship him. And he decided to leave all of that and go to, in the midst of the slaves, and leave. So he basically lost everything. You know, can you imagine that Moses will have a convoy whenever he's going? As soon as he declared his identity, he lost everything. And the Bible says that, now this is where the Bible says, he regarded the disgrace of Christ a greater value. So the Bible is now saying, his measure of value is what made him take that decision. So the Bible says, rather than the treasures of Egypt, because he looked ahead to his reward, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the hand of the king. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. That means that the measure of value is not something tangible. Does this make sense? Are we moving together? Now, before we begin to look at Moses and say, Moses, you know, if we're to judge him by our standard and say, was that journey a profitable journey for Moses? I can tell you that it was not a profitable move. Why? When Moses was in Egypt, he was the head of Egypt and the whole of Israel was under his control. So him leaving Egypt and following a bunch of slaves that he can control while he was there, and go and live 40 years in the wilderness with them. And somebody had, you know, he was under, and at the end of that journey, after doing 40 years of doing, what's it called? Taking away and watching over the animals of his father-in-law, in aspect on that 40 years, at the end of that 40 years, he did not enter the promised land. Yet, to Moses, he saw a greater value in that. So what I'm trying to say is that we need to get to a point where we begin to understand what value is in this kingdom. Because at times, you know, we look at Moses, he led 3 million people. He was leading them anyway while he was in Egypt. He had better living condition than, you know, another person was what's he called? Paul. Paul will say, now please note that these people did not make arbitrary decision. It was a consideration they had on, they saw a value that they chose. That's why the Bible will say, what is it more? I consider, what is saying that I have made come to a conclusion. I consider that everything a loss because of the surpassing worth. What is that value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord? For the sake I lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Now, in case you probably, let me just paint Paul to you. Paul was a protege of a man called Gamaliel. He was the highest intellectual person in the land, the Jewish land, as at then. So when Paul would be speaking in certain places, these are men that when they want to go to do speaking, you are paying them £10,000 per hour to give you lecture. Paul now became a tent maker. The Paul that will enter when Paul was so powerful that when they were killing Stephen, Paul was crossing leg while they were killing Stephen before him. That's how powerful he was. And yet he's saying all of that is nonsense. Because I found a value. This is the same Paul that they killed and they were dragging along the streets. The same one that had influence. Because at times we read the Bible and maybe we're not too sure of the people that we are following and the decisions that they made. This is not to say that that is how your path will go, but it is important that we understand. The question I am asking is that what value did these people see that they decided to take these decisions? Because what they are saying as we read that scripture, what they are saying is that I have considered, I have come to a place where that consideration is not, I'm not just taking it, I'm taking a risk, but that risk is an informed risk. So, as we begin to, so I just wanted to say why we are moving towards from risk, why we are moving into a value, to begin to ask the question, what is the value? You know, now when, if I give you a piece of paper, wrapped it up and give it to you and say, watch over this thing. What, the first thing you will do, you want to open it to say, what is it means that it's telling me to watch over? Now, for me to now say, I want you to watch over this for the rest of your life. You will ask, the next question is that, what is the, how valuable is this thing that you are asking me to watch over it? What is the big deal in it? Now, when you now open the thing, I now discover that, there's gold here. The way you would look at it will be different. Now, the Bible now says, obey your spiritual leaders. I'm not really, but I'm just using this as a point. Obey your spiritual leaders, submit to them and recognize their authority over you, for they are keeping watch over your soul, continually guarding your spiritual welfare. That means that God is saying that your soul is very important, that it needs 24 hours monitoring. It now says that, it says, welfare as those who will give account. So God is saying that they are going to give accounts for how well your soul is. Now, it is not that, it is better that you do not just say, God has put it in somebody's chart. You should ask yourself, what is so particular about my soul that God is saying, I am apportioning people, not only you alone, apportioning people to be looking at it. He now said, Let them do this with joy and not with griefs and things like I said, for this would be for your benefit. So don't make their life difficult so that they can do their job properly. If I were speaking to pastors or ministers, it would probably be a different conversation. Because what God is saying directly is that the more you have, people don't give you grief, the more you are accountable, because there will be no excuse. What God is saying is that, because he said so that when they get here, they will not tell me that this person did that. Does that make sense? So a pastor that somebody says, Pastor, I want you to go. I'm not saying, I'm just saying as an example. I want you to go on holiday. And go and relax yourself. That, and you think it is because you are good. God is saying, no, I put it in that person's heart so that you don't have an excuse to say that you did not do my job. So it is a trap. That's what I'm saying to you. It's a trap. So it's better that when God calls you into ministry, you don't take people blessing you as, it is an opportunity that God will say, you were supposed to walk 3 miles. Somebody said, Pastor, can I give you a ride? And you now follow the ride. You don't know that leg was saved so that you can stand in the middle of the night and pray. You think that ride is to say, I have a ride. No. It is an opportunity for you to walk more. But we are not talking about pastors here. But I'm just saying that the question is, how is my soul so important that God is placing such a value on it? You know, one other thing that as we look at this is that if I give you a phone to use, you may be using that phone, but you may not know the value of that phone. For you to know the actual value of that phone, you have to Google and go to maybe iPhone or whatever to know what the price is. Now, what I'm saying is that because you have your soul at your disposal does not mean you know the value of it. So somebody can say to you, if I say, do you know the value of it? Yes, I know the value. It's my soul. No, because you are using the soul does not mean that you know the value. Okay, let me give you another example. You may give me a pen. And I say this pen is £5. But that pen might be something that maybe your grandfather has been passing from one generation to another. I say, Pastor, it lives in my heart to bless you with this. And I use that pen and I leave it somewhere. I say, this is £5. It may be £5, but to you. So what I'm trying to say, for me to be able to understand the value of what you have given is for me to ask you, what is the value? Does that make sense? So you cannot know the value of your soul just by filling your mind and say, this is how I feel. No. That is why I wanted to just first say that the Bible now, Colossians, can you help us out? Colossians was saying, Colossians chapter 1, the Bible talks about the Son of Man in the image of the invisible God, the first one, this is Jesus Christ. He said, in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, powers, and things like that. Now, why did I go to this scripture? You know when you go to this auction, there's this thing that they do on TV, this auction things, antiques and things like that, yeah. They need to go and get a specialist who knows it to be able to put the right value on that thing. So, if you were to ask what is the value of things in the world, including human beings, it would be the one by which all things were created. Will be the one that will give you an accurate valuation. Does that make sense? So that's why we are coming to what Jesus said. Jesus now said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple This thing does not make sense, because the Bible says they are his disciple. He said, you think you are a disciple now. But I am telling you, if you are going to be my disciple, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. He now said, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever wants to lose his life will find it. We're talking about this last week. He's talking about risk. He now went to verse 26, talking about the value. He said, for what good will it be for one to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Now, at times we read this and we say, if you gain money, if you gain and the things like that. But Jesus did not even he didn't split it. He said the whole world. Please note that Jesus did not say, if you gain the whole world and lose souls. Jesus said, their soul. That means one soul is more valuable than all the world. When I mean all the world, I'm talking about the resources in the ground. Put all the first 1,000 richest people in the world. They are not as rich as a nation. I'm not talking about what the nation has in back. I'm talking about what they even have in the soil. So God is saying, not even that thing. Jesus said, but in everything that I created, you cannot exchange a soul for the whole world. You know, thank you. Mom was talking about this moment when she was leading the prayers about monitoring what matters most. He said if a man gains the whole world and forfeits his soul, he now said, or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Now, what this means is that, you know, if this phone breaks, I can send it to the repair and get another one. But when a soul is damaged, there is no way to find a replacement. That's what he's saying. Now, if your phone only, if you have a phone that only has, that the only way you can get spare parts is when you go to Japan, how would you treat that phone? Okay. When people want to make a useless person, what do you want to do? You want to make a call on this phone? No. You cannot make your calls always. Why? Because you know to get a replacement for that phone, you will have to work. So you know, or maybe you have your electricity, and they've not paid you. You are not getting paid until next month. Somebody now come and say, let's watch TV. Say, no watching TV in this house. We at a particular time, we are all in the dark. Why? That thing, before you can find another one to replace it, you know you are going to wait. Now, Jesus now said, your soul, once it is damaged, once it has issues, there is no way to replace it. He said, no one can give in exchange for their soul. Now, what this also means is that you cannot use somebody's soul to exchange your own. So someone cannot say, there are so many people that God is using already. No. A soul cannot be exchanged for another. I cannot say that my family are very hard. In my family, there are so many pastors. As far as God is concerned, a soul cannot be exchanged for another. So the Bible is saying here, it says, Jesus is saying, he said, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? He's saying that, the first he said, if a man wins the whole world and loses his soul, can you imagine somebody they did a funeral for someone? And people say, such a wonderful man. See, he's lived a blessed life. He has children, he has cars, he has everything, he has, you know, he has an empire of business. As far as God is concerned, all those things, they don't make sense. A man said something which really touched me. He went to bury his father and he was doing a video and he was talking. He said, he saw months later, he saw his mom eating. They were doing, I think she was watching like a comedy. He wasn't blaming her. We were watching a comedy and she was laughing and things like that. And he was reflecting on it. And he said, every one of us left my dad and walked in. He's now left on his own to meet his creator. He said, all the people that you're trying to impress, even the very loving wife that he had, left the place. The next place you're going to open your eyes is going to be the one who will ask you what is the valuation of your soul. He said, as much as I loved my dad, I left the place. All his business partners left the place. He was left alone. And he said, if you don't get it right, whatever it is that you are running after, at the end, you will be alone. Can have 10,000 children, millions of people that you have taught their life, at the end, you will be me alone. So, he said, this man has done so many things. He has touched life. He has done this. He has done that. Yes, but did he throw away his soul? So when somebody is reading, somebody's thing and they're reading it, he survived by this, survived by that, survived by this, survived by that, this. God is just saying, read on, please. That is not all those things stay here. It has no relevance. So Jesus, he said, whatever it is that you are giving, you gather in this world. Once you step away, that's it. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. So Jesus was trying to do this valuation for people, so that you do not lose your soul at the expense of what does not make sense. Now, when it comes to soul valuation, God does not measure soul by age. A whole person's soul is no more bigger than a baby's soul. Now, Jesus made it so clear that the cost of leading a soul astray, he said, the person that led that soul astray, Jesus said, he had better not be born. He said, or maybe they should tie a stone around his neck. Basically, he should go into they should throw him in the water, whereby he cannot come back to the surface again. He said, that is better. So the question is, what kind of severe punishment is so weighty for somebody that misleads his soul? The issue is that what the person has lost is to value. So the Bible says, he said, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, who's the greatest in the kingdom? And he said, he called the child and set him before him. And he said, I assure you, Solemnly, unless you repent, that is, and him herself and things like that, he said, or become like this, trusting, humble, and forgiving, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child will be the greatest in the kingdom of God. He now went on and he says that, but verse 6 said, but whoever causes these little ones who believe in me to stumble and sin, leading them away from my teachings, it will be better for him to have a heavy millstone, as large as the one turned by a donkey, hung round his neck, and thrown down into the deep sea. This is what I beg parents for. Some parents, by giving birth, they have almost, may God not allow us sign a certificate to him. Because I'm not saying, I know some people are trying, but when you just purposely neglect your child, say, they don't need all these kind of things yet. Why is God so particular about that? He's particular about it because what I'm saying is that when it comes to God, the valuation of soul does not determine either you are big or small. A soul is a soul. And you also see that, you know, when we see, you see that, you know, the Bible was talking about a woman, a woman that was a prostitute and things, and she brought the alabaster box and she broke it at Jesus' feet. And Jesus was appreciating that woman because the value of a soul, as far as God is concerned, it doesn't matter where that soul is coming from. It is where that soul is now. Please note that Jesus did not applaud her past. He said she's at the point where she's broken. That is what Jesus applauds. Jesus does not applaud somebody's past. He applauds your brokenness now. Does that make sense? Please, you also note the difference. When the people were saying that, this woman is a prostitute, what is she doing here? And things like that. You know, the woman did not say, Jesus, don't worry, let me give them their own. Are you not a sinner also? Oh, how dare you judge me? See, those who say that, they are not ready. What that woman was saying, she was just in tears. All that, I can imagine her hearing one of when Jesus was responding and say, I know, that was my past. But that is why I have come to Jesus. One that is not remorseful for their past, but uses as an excuse as not is not ready. So it should not be, you say that I used to lie. What about you? You cannot be doing earlier than now. When they were talking, the woman was crying and focusing on Jesus. That, sir, I know I have an issue. So the Bible says here, when he saw, and Jesus was talking about, and Jesus said to her, I just want to move on quickly. The Bible says, that, therefore I tell you, many and many sins, Jesus even qualified it, that are many sins are forgiven. As a great love has shown. Basically, but he said, but whoever is forgiving little will show little. Jesus is saying, this woman understands the value of her soul. That is why you see her behaving in a particular way. Somebody who has no appreciation of the value of their soul, you will see in the way they believe. You see the way they behave. So, when, as far as Jesus is concerned, Your soul is so valuable. The value that they saw, Paul and Moses, they understood the value of their soul and were ready to say, no. We'd rather give everything to save our soul. And I don't know if most of us heard about Tim Keller. Is it Keller? Oh, yeah, I think it's Keller. I believe that's the right pronunciation. You know, I love these guys. This is John Piper. They're very close friends, ministry together. He just died to cancer at 72. John Piper was doing a video, and John Piper was saying the email he sent to him before he died. And he was saying that, say this to the next generation coming. And John Piper was saying in that message, he was talking about the scripture whereby people were excited that they conquered the disciples, that they conquered, that they cast out demons, they cast out that. And he said, he was laying emphasis on this part that Jesus said. He said, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What he's saying is that after all I have lived for, all that matters most is that my soul is safe. With all the books that I have done, with all the ministries that I have achieved, the only thing that, so when he told John Piper, say this to the next generation coming, that in everything that they may have, in any kind of exposure that they may become, all that matters is your soul. Guess what? Because when he stepped away into eternity, everything was left behind. Everything was left behind. And I think that it's important that when we see men that have walked the faith, even in our own generations, you know, just like Paul was writing, and that is why, you know, I find it quite interesting when he was writing to Timothy. It's like, you know, they are so used to writing epistles, just like the apostles who write to one another and say to these people, these are my last words. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. So, the Bible's, you know, why is your soul, one of the values of your soul is to also understand the capacity your soul received when you met Christ. The Bible says that when Jesus had finished with disciples, the last thing he did for them, the Bible says, he breathed unto them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Basically, he put life into them. That's why the Bible says that we are participants in God's divine nature. What does that mean? That means that your soul has the ability to go. The life that your soul carries is beyond this world. So the apostles saw that. So somebody like what's it called? So Moses, who, this is how you know somebody who has when their value system is different. When Moses left Egypt as the head of the country, so to say, or second in command. Led slaves out. It's as if the Queen of England or Charles now, let's say in those days, where they were still colonizing the whole world, and then I said, I'm going to leave the throne of England, I'm going to follow Nigeria. That's what it means. And you now follow Nigeria, like just like, I can't cover that. So, at the end of the journey of Moses, when Moses saw the land, the promised land, and he could not enter, this is the test of how you will know a man that has seen value. Yes. Moses turned back and looked at the people of Israel, and he blessed them from the bottom of his heart. Any other person that has not known value? Sorry. God! Ah! What a mistake.
with all that I have suffered. I will not be seeing the promised land, I will not enter. The Bible says Moses saw, looked at them. You need to go and read the blessings of Moses. You will see that he was blessing them from the bottom of his heart. That is a man that has found value. That's a man that has found value. So the Bible says you are participating in God's divine nature. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. And David would, as we move a little bit close to the hymn, David was saying, he said, this was scripture that we read, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He keeps refreshing my soul. Because what matters most is that your soul is refreshed. Now, one of the ways, or the ways that the scripture guides us in refreshing our soul, keeping your soul intact, the Bible says that you have been pure, you have purified your soul. That means souls need detoxification. What did you say? They need to be detoxified regularly. He said that having purified your souls by obedience to the truth. For he says, brotherly love, and love one another since he pure from a pure heart. He says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable seed, through the living and abiding word of God. What does he say? He now said that he says, all flesh are like grass, and the glory of the flowers of the grass withers and flowers fall, but the word of God remains forever. What he's saying is that one of the ways to keep refreshing your soul is for it to be receiving the word of God on a regular basis. It purifies your soul. It takes away the weight away. It takes away the weight away because it allows your soul to survive. You know, there are times when Christians may not even know their soul is being tormented. Now, the Bible says that if he had rescued Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed by the depraved conduct of lawlessness, for a righteous man living among them day after day saw his righteous soul. It was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawlessness he saw and he had. Please, do you think that Lot knew that he was tormented? When Saul was in, what's it called? Sodom and Gomorrah. Did Saul know that he was tormented? Sorry, did Lot know that he was tormented? I believe the answer is no. Why? If he was tormented, he would have run. But everything was okay. Life was good. But the Bible says his soul is being tormented. At times it's until when people pass on that they see their soul and they see how tormented the soul has been. But because everything is okay, things are good. He doesn't know. So that is what I'm trying to say, is that a tormented soul is not when you feel, I feel there's something wrong. No. Tormented soul, you can be living in luxury and your soul be tormented. God can give you grace to become on his, as in to feel on his. Within that time, that is when the Bible lights up your conscience. That conviction begins to come and you begin to feel on his. If, because they did not need to come and rush out, they ran, it's as if the house was burning and Lot did not know anything was happening. God had to send angels to rescue him out of the place. A Christian that is not looking after their soul, you would not know even when your soul is tormented. Because you would be at ease. At times people say, you know, I'm just at peace. At times you need to be careful. That's why the Bible says, my peace will I give you. That is the other peace. That you'll be at peace, but your soul is seriously out of it. But the way to know most of that is as you come closer to the Word of God and it's detoxifying you, you discover how tormented the soul is. God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. So that's why he said, dear friends, I warn you. We are friends, but I am warning you. We are temporary residents and foreigners. Keep away from worldly desires. He said they are waging war against your very soul. There are things that people think that it's just one of those things, you know, we just having fun, we're just enjoying ourselves. But please, how does worldly desire, let's be honest with ourselves, how does worldly desire sound like war? If you're in war, will you not know you're in war? But somebody can be living large and their soul is at war. By the time they, that is why it's important that you are constantly caring for your soul, exposing your soul to the world. Or else, you know, I witnessed something, I heard about something once when someone was speaking in tongues. The Bible says that he that speaks in tongues speaks in your spirit prays. And the person was praying in tongues and they were praying loud. And God gave somebody the opportunity to open somebody's ears to be able to hear and see and hear what was going on. The person had to say, shut up, come outside. Why? Because they were saying, let us pray for God's prosperity and peace. And as he was praying, he was speaking in tongues and things again. And what his soul was shouting, I am a fornicator, save me. The soul was finding expression, even in his body, he thinks it's okay. So they had to pull him out and say, sit down. Oh, no, I'm okay, there's nothing wrong with me. And he said, no, there is nothing wrong. All is wrong with you. Your soul is crying out for rescue. Said, no, but we were praying, and I can remember that we were praying about God's love, God's peace. Say, yes, that's what we were praying. But what you are shouting is different. What happened was that the soul was able to find expression. Please, one, all we are saying is learn to know the value of your soul and cater for it. The ways by which Scripture gives us an opportunity for a soul to be catered for is in the presence of his Maker. That's why at times you would see that you would be in the presence of God and your mind, your soul would be leaping. Because it is finding connection in its source. Now, the concern we need to do is to replicate that outside the tabernacle. That's why David said, I want to see you, I'm in a dry land, I want to see you just as I have seen you in the tabernacle. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, before we come into prayer, the Bible says, this is quite interesting because Matthew 7, Acts, and shall be given to you, and things like that, you know. But when we go to verse 6, Jesus said something which sounded a bit of opposite. He said, do not give that which is holy to dogs.
Do not throw pearls before pigs, for they will trample on them under their feet and stunt with shame. He now went to verse, after he said, don't give things to people who don't know the value, he now went to verse 7, he now said, ask. Basically, what God is saying is that understand the value first before you ask. And some asking may take a while. That's why I love the Amplified. The Amplified will say, ask, keep asking, and it will be given to you. Seek, keep seeking. I know that most of us read the KJV and when you just say ask and it shall be given, but the actual translation is actually saying, ask, keep asking, seek, keep seeking, knock, keep on knocking. Now, the only reason why you will stand there and keep knocking is because you know the value of what you are looking for. So, as we pray the prayer of David, it's because David understood the value of his soul. So, one of the things David said was that, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. What he's saying, take any other thing if you want. But this one, do not take it away from me. What he's saying, that this is the one that can sustain my soul. I know that my soul can live beyond this world. So that when my you know, I am not only, this is not, see, the Bible says, if all our reward is in this world, then we are the most miserable human beings. But because I understand my soul, so I will not exchange everything now so that I will lose my soul. Question is, do you really appreciate the value of your soul? Do you really appreciate the value of your soul? And then he prays this prayer. He was when he was talking, he said, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. That's why I said that access to the word regularly is a path to keep refreshing your soul. We are not saying that God will not bring you to greater places, but understand the value system well so that you are not shortchanged. If God is investing all of this on your soul, do you understand why heaven is so adamant on your soul? Someone will say, why did God have to send his child? Because that's the only thing that heaven had to give. Because the value of something is known in what you are willing to pay for it. You know, a jersey of, I don't know, maybe 40 pounds or whatever the case may be. Or is it 50 or 70 pounds? I think if Messi puts on a jersey and gives it out for sale, you know what I'm saying? So, what I'm saying is that the value is in what you are willing to pay for it. So the value God is willing to pay for one soul, God is saying, if the whole world is given, it still will not be enough. So what are you willing to give? The highs of a servant of God, Samson, God was willing to bring down a whole nation for two sets of eyes. I mean, what did Solomon, what did he ask? God, give me an opportunity to see again. If the eyes of Samson, the one that has gone wrong before God, only because he stepped back in purpose, that eyes was what the lives of a whole congregation. What am I trying to say? No matter where you've been, when you step in with God I said, God, I am back. The value of that soul, you cannot. So if somebody's eyes can be worth a whole congregation, how much more your soul? And that's what we are talking about as we move in towards the anniversary and talking about harvest. Because we are looking with God, that leading of God, we have the month of heart, the month of evangelism coming. But you cannot go and win souls if you don't even know the value of your own. Let us rise up, please.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. Have a blessed week.